you do you, you know, you concentrate on what you want to say and what you want to do. Of course, respecting them as well, but don't worry so much about what other people are thinking, because you'll never reach your dreams. You'll be so focused on helping them achieve their dreams or living up to their expectations, you'll come away with regret. You want to live your life.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome back to the Feel Good Factor. I'm Susmita Veganosaurus, and I'm so glad you could join me here today. Hello, my Feel Good tribe. I'm back. After months and months of being away, I finally found the time, the space to sit and work on the podcast once again. Many things happened for the last few months of last year and all kinds of changes, but that's a story for another day. Today, I'm back with a brilliant interview with this amazing person. I actually recorded this interview maybe 4 months ago, but I just hadn't had the time to work on it and share it with all of you. And honestly, now while I was editing it and while I was listening to her, it dawned on me that I had no business keeping away all this amazing information from you for all these months. Seriously, like this interview deserved to be listened to so much earlier. And I apologize for that. But hey, I'm here now and the interview is here and ready. And I can't wait for all of you to listen to it. Hey everyone, I have Karen Warwick here on the show today. So Karen's a friend of mine from our online mastermind group called Rise, which I've spoken about so many times on the podcast. If you've been listening to the show, I've had multiple awesome women, awesome friends from this mastermind being interviewed on the show. And well, Karen's the next in line and she's amazing. She's so much fun. She has this energy. Well, I'm not going to say too much about it. You got to listen to it and you'll know. Karen is a holistic nutritionist and she is also an author. She recently, very, very recently, just this year, released a book and it's doing quite well. It's itself a very, very interesting topic about health and nutrition. And she shared the story of her own personal life and journey in it. So there's a lot we are going to learn from Karen today. So yeah, without further ado, here we go. Hey, Karen.
Hi, how you doing?
Doing great. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
I know that it is crazy early right now. It's 3 a.m. your time, right? So how come you're up this early? So this is like, I remember you saying on a daily basis, you do get up at these hours.
Yes. Well, just for you, I got up at 2 o'clock so I could have this extra hour to talk to you and your people about nutrition. But on a regular day, I wake up at 3. I trudge over to the treadmill, get on there for half an hour, do 10 minutes of free weights, do a meditation, have a shower, and go to work at 5 in the morning for Canada Post. I deliver mail.
Cool. Okay, see, that I didn't know about. I didn't know what your day job was because we all know each other's side hustles and stuff. So you deliver mail. What's that like? Is that something you've been doing for a long time?
Since I returned to Canada in 2008. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you must meet a lot of interesting people when, not early in the morning, but later on in the day during your shift.
Yeah, with my job, I don't walk door to door. I go to those big super boxes and deliver the mail. So I don't get to see a lot of people. It's a great job for people that want to sort of get some fresh air, get a little bit of exercise, and finish really early. So because I start so early, I start at 5. Usually I'm done by 10 in the morning. So that gives me my whole day to write and do the things that I like to do as far as nutrition goes.
Wow, so, cool.
Yeah.
And what are your hours for? Because you're a holistic nutritionist, so I'm assuming you have clients, you talk to people and teach. What is that kind of work like?
Well, since COVID, there hasn't been any more one-on-one kind of contact.
Mm-hmm.
But usually my consultation hours, I'll go from 1 to 5 only, Monday to Friday.
Okay.
In general, though, you know, it's more about the writing. I'm designing some courses right now and some email challenges based on the material of my book to help people, to help more people than I would just doing consultancy here.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, books are a great way to reach a very wide audience, but yeah, not everybody reads. So it's a cool idea that you're doing, you know, you're building on workshops and courses based on that, because sometimes that's a lot more fun to do, right, than just reading the book or supplementing these courses and workshops with the book. So yeah. Can you tell us a bit about the book itself?
Yeah, sure. The book is called Break the Cycle.
Mm-hmm.
It is how to lose weight and maintain your ideal weight for the rest of your life. I tell you, my journey has been long and hard. I've been a vegan since 2013. And I decided to become a vegan because I was overweight and I was having problems with my cholesterol, which is pretty much a family problem. And I thought that by giving up meat and all animal products, that that would help me get that under control. But what I didn't realize was that by giving up the meat, I was replacing it with a lot of sugar and a lot of fats. And so I stayed a fat vegan for years. Until finally, I figured out the power of calorie density and giving up the fats, the sugars, and the salt, and then the weight just came right off. Also, another thing I didn't realize was that I was a huge food addict, you know, and I had problems with binge eating all my life and bulimia on and off all my life. And so Once I finally got my act together and really embraced a whole foods, plant-based lifestyle, all that went away when I realized what I was doing. And I feel fantastic now. I feel absolutely super now and no more weight problems.
That's wonderful to know. And, you know, what I really like about what you said was when you switched to a whole food, plant-based diet, you also were able to stop the food addiction and give up the unhealthy habits, right?
Yeah.
So there is a connection between the kind of food we choose and also our, because when you want to give up unhealthy habits, it's not just the physical thing, it's the mental thing too, right? Not just the physical addiction, but also like having that kind of an emotional, having the mindset, having the right mindset and feeling the right kind of emotions to support you on that journey. So do you feel like having switched to a completely plant-based diet, do you feel like that affected your emotions, your way of thinking, the way you were feeling? Did that make a difference?
Oh, absolutely. It was huge. Huge. I started dieting when I was like 15 years old, you know, mm-hmm. and everybody who goes on a diet is successful. It doesn't matter sort of what kind of diet you go on. You're usually, you can lose the weight, but you can't keep it off. And, mm-hmm. and you try all these things. You become obsessed with food. You go like, oh, can I get away with eating that? And how many calories in this other thing? And, you know, you become so obsessed with that. But what's happened to me, what I find with using caloric density, it just focuses on four food groups. And that is vegetables, fruits, grains, and legumes. And with that limited thing, you can eat to your heart's content and you never have to worry or think about food. You know, because that's your window, you know, and then you load up on those sorts of things and you eat to your heart's content and you're told your brain is totally calm now, you know, and that's a beautiful thing.
What comes up to me is the obsessing of the calculations.
Mm-hmm.
This is something that really hurts people. And I always tell, I used to have a restaurant. If people came and asked me, okay, what are the macros on this? What is the calorie in this? I'm like, stop. You know, don't even ask me. I'm the wrong person, because have a healthy relationship with your food. Choose healthy options and then don't bother about all the other nitty-gritties of things. And I like what you said, that, you know, it freed up your mind when you said, okay, I'm going to have fruits, veggies, legumes and grains, and then not stress and worry about, you know, okay, how much carb does this have? How much fat does this have? And things like that, right?
Yeah, like we're the only creatures on earth that take a pencil to a piece of paper and write down the number of calories and things like that. Other creatures don't do that. When they're eating the diet that they're supposed to be eating, you know, that they're meant to eat, they eat until they're full and then they wander off, you know? No, not us. This is all we got to think about. And what a waste of a life, you know? What a waste of energy. What a waste of focus. We weren't put on earth to count calories, you know, and obsess about our weights and how things are doing. We're here for bigger things, you know? We're here to enjoy our families and to make connection and perhaps we're put on earth to do incredible things, you know? But you don't have time for that if you're busy counting your calories.
Oh, so well said. And I absolutely agree with you. And that's, you know, this is a very, very important point that people need to figure out. Like, stop obsessing, stop wasting your focus, your mental energy or your emotional energy, everything on food, because that shouldn't be a point of obsession or concern, except for maybe if you want to create some delicious recipes and they're like, oh, how do I make this taste better in a healthy way? Yeah, that's a different obsession, which is good. But, you know, definitely not sit and calculate everything. And I love what you said about how we are meant for bigger things, much, much bigger things.
Oh, much bigger things. But as you said, too, like being creative with food, creating new wonderful recipes, that's an art form in itself. And it's a worthy endeavor, absolutely, to be able to do things like that. You know, for you, for your family, for the health of them as well, you know, to create beautiful, tasty dishes, you know, what you're doing is absolutely amazing. You know, you're opening up new ways of thinking and new ways of eating. And I think that's amazing.
Thank you. Yeah. And likewise. Often when we have our monthly video calls on the group, I see you prepping, you're cutting something, washing something, you know. I see how much you love doing it. You're like so involved in that. How do you do this? So since you're having a lot of veggies and fruits and stuff, what kind of prep plans do you put in place so that you get all of this in, you know, for yourself as well as for your family?
Oh, wonderful. Well, actually, there's just me, my husband, and the dog. Now, the dog doesn't eat the salad. The dog has her own diet, which is very special for her. And my husband, he doesn't eat this way either. But I don't have to worry about cooking for him. He has some health concerns. So his meat and things are delivered, like through Meals on Wheels, which is a common delivery service for people like him. Actually, I got that. He had brain surgery about 3 years ago. And I tried everything, you know, as a holistic nutritionist, I wanted him to have the very, very best of food. But he's a old world kind of guy, a meat and potatoes guy, and he wasn't really into any sort of new fangled things. And I bought him the best, you know, like organic meats and things. And I tried so hard, and he accused me of poisoning them. You know, I want to think it was because of the brain surgery had affected his memory and everything. So as basically it was sort of like a fuck you. I'm going to give you Meals on Wheels, which is basically it's all meat and potatoes and it's very hospital food. It's very, very bland. They don't use a lot of spice or anything. And so I got that delivered for him. Because I figured, well, then he's going to appreciate me, you know? He's going to appreciate all the effort that I put into. But he loved the food. And it was and it totally backfired on me. So I thought, oh well, okay, well that's for me to do. Okay, we'll just keep doing it then. And so he's perfectly happy with that kind of food and just let him rock and roll.
You know what I like about what you said is you see, there's a limit. We can't always help everyone, and sometimes it's the people we love the most, the closest ones, who are not receptive to our way of living or receptive to, you know, like you said, newfangled things. And that does happen, and it's very difficult. But I like how, you know, you found the humor in this and you're like, okay, it backfired, but less work for me, because that is so important. We have to do the best we can and that's it. But we cannot control, we cannot obsess, and we definitely cannot change people. They need to do that for themselves. And by giving up on that and saying, okay, you love whatever it is that you're loving, you are creating space in your, again, you know, in your mind to write this book, to do the courses and to teach others who actually want the help.
Yes, absolutely. And a big part of that we're going to get to that is the way that I prep my food. And I do a lot of bulk cooking. All my cooking. Oh, well, look, I've got my work to do. I've got the book to write. And I got my husband to take care of as well. And not to mention the dog, who's the queen of the house, right? So there's all these things that I have to do. So all my cooking is done on the weekend for the whole week. And I've managed to figure out a way to bulk prep my salads that I have. I have vegetables for breakfast every morning. This is not before work. When I eat my breakfast, which is more like a brunch at like 10 or 11 in the morning. Okay. I bulk prep all my salad veggies, and I buy a lot of fresh fruit, you know, which is absolutely awesome. But then like for the main meals, I bake potatoes about 5 or 6 at a time and have those in the fridge. I bulk cook rice in a big, like a 10 cup rice cooker, and I freeze it in containers. And I make about 2 or 3 different
beans.
Like bean or lentil dishes. Like this week I made a chili, a pot of chili, a pot of lentil curry, and a pot of sort of like a, it's called a lentil bolognese, like an Italian thing, which I serve on rice because I want that whole grain rather than using noodles or anything like that. So I do that all on the weekend, and I've got it down to a science. They're all in their own little container. So all I have to do is take them out of the freezer, and they're ready to go, except, of course, the salad is fresh in the fridge. But, you know, they're all ready to go for the entire week and then some. You know, if something comes up, I've got plenty that are ready to go. So I'm eating a lot, but I don't have to spend a lot of time in the kitchen.
That's a very, very good system. How long does it take you usually to prep for the whole week, like the lentils, rice, and all those things? Cutting
the veggies. Okay. So basically I soak all my beans and lentils on the Friday. You know, I finish work and I put them in their jars to soak, you know, to rehydrate. And I'll start cooking them in an Instapot on the Saturday morning and let them cool. And then usually later in the day, I'll do the 3 big preps, right? The 3 big things. The rice cooker, I make a quinoa dish as well. Those ones, I do everything on the Saturday. Sunday, by about noon, I'm done. I'm finished. Yeah. And then I have the rest of the week. So.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds like a good way to plan things, especially because you have hours which are not like regular hours, and you know, you're out for especially the morning hours, and you get home at that point of time, cooking from scratch would be quite difficult, right? So this is a very good system that you've developed. When you do this whole system, prepping and everything, so when did you start that? Like, when did you realize that it makes sense for you to prep like this?
Oh, straight away after I turned whole food plant-based. You know, I've tried so many other, vegan programs that I've seen. I tried the John Gabriel 12-week program, Joel Fuhrman's recipes. He's does a called the Nutritarian. John mm-hmm. McDougall called not Caldwell Esselstyn, his son Rip Esselstyn, the fire, what was it, like the firehouse recipes, and they all have their plans, and they have all these meals that you prep every day. Well, I'm just too darn tired for that, you know. It's so easy just to order something in or eat something that's off plan, you know, even though it would only take maybe half an hour to prep, you know, your dinner before you eat it. I can't be bothered, so I had to find something that I could cook straight away and it would be ready in 5 minutes. Because there's that, especially when you're a food addict or a binge eater, it's very, very dangerous to not have good, healthy food prepped and ready to go in your house. You can't rely on willpower and you can't rely on your energy level at that point. Starting off like over a year ago now, this is when I started the bulk cooking thing, and it made all the difference. A lot of people that eat this way, they do it, they stay compliant, you know, like they eat the four food groups and they stay compliant because they're afraid that if they eat off plan, they're going to gain weight. Well, that's not the case for me. The case for me is that if I don't eat compliant, I'm going to binge eat. And then maybe I'm going to puke it all up, okay? And that's very dangerous. It's dangerous for your health, and it's just dangerous for your mind, and it can just throw me totally off the rails. So my compliancy is based on the fact that I don't want to ever have to binge eat again.
And you are basically dealing with this from a point of being in recovery, constant recovery.
Recovery, yeah, absolutely. And so the trick that I play with my mind is that, say my work day, which it does in the winter time, my work day is a lot longer day, especially approaching the holidays. There's a lot more parcels to deliver, and I can be out there. Instead of eating breakfast at 10, I could be out there at 1 o'clock. And so when I'm thinking to myself, hey, you know, I could just go through a drive-through or whatever and get some food because I'm so darn hungry. And I make a deal with myself that no, first things first, go home, eat your compliant meal that you have already ready to go at home, and then think about binging, you know? Yeah, do that first, and then once you do that, once you eat your compliant meal, well, you're full, you're fine, you didn't die, you know, you're ready to go. So that's what I do anyway, and it seems to work for me. If you make that deal with yourself, going like, well, yeah, maybe you can have that thing, but first eat your real food.
That's a very good, you know, I like how you said you play this trick on yourself, and we all have the capacity to do that. We can, I mean, all the time we are often in denial for things which are not even good for us. So why not use that and then, you know, use it for our own benefit? This thing of making ourselves believe that this will happen if you do this, and then it won't anyway, right? So that's a good way to trick yourself, and I like that. Earlier you were talking about your husband. I wanted to ask you, but I want to first talk about this, right? Tell me about how you got married, because I know there's that very, very fun story in your in your book, and you know, when you introduced the book too, you have shared that, so I'd love to hear that.
Oh, wow. How we got married. Okay. But first let me tell you how I met him. Okay, this is fun. Okay, so I'm an old dog. I got married for the first time when I was 19. That marriage lasted for about 10 years. And after that time, I traveled around for years. And then when my mom started to get ill, I moved back home to help take care of her. And so here I am. I'm an older person. I would have been in my late 40s at that time, and I couldn't figure out how to meet new people. So I was looking to meet a new person, but it's hard to do it I was living in a small town. How do you meet an older guy who's not a creep? So, but okay, okay, ladies, this is not the way to meet a guy, okay? So I went online, I went on Plenty of Fish, and I met lots and lots of really small fish and carp and some sharks and some horrible fish. And I ended up meeting this one guy. We dated and lived together for about 3 years, and then he kicked me to the curb. And I was, and of course, I was off Plenty of Fish then. And he was talking to another girl back on Plenty of Fish, and I discovered this. So I put up my profile again, and this really good-looking guy was wanted to meet me, and that was my husband. And I thought, oh, okay. So I gave him a chance, and he was the guy. He was the guy. So when you're not looking for something, you know, I went back on Plenty of Fish to spy on that my ex. But here came this other beautiful fish. He was a beautiful fish, and it was my husband. And from the moment we met, we couldn't be apart. It was a match made in heaven. It absolutely Aww. Was. But he didn't ever want to get married. So one day he just asked me to marry him because he knew that it was important to my family that I had somebody. And he said, listen, I want a marriage, but I don't want another wedding, because he had been married before as well. I said, no problem. And you know how he is with his memory and everything. So he said, you arrange it and I'll be there and we'll get married. So sure enough, I decided, okay, this is what I'm going to do. I got a justice of the peace, or an officiant. Okay. I didn't tell him when it was going to happen. Planned for this officiant to come to the house. And marry us. I got my sister, who's a hairdresser and also my best friend, to come to the house and do our hair in the morning and then whatever I'd arrange for her. And as for him, I figured, well, we'll just call his brother, right, on the day. So the day of the wedding, I woke him up in the morning and said, we're getting married today. This is okay. And sure enough, that's how it went off, is that the officiant came over. His brother was out of town, so he couldn't have his brother as his best man. So he got a friend who was on the job to come off the job and just stand in for the wedding that we had in the front yard. And we signed the registers, and then we went out for the friend went back to work, and my sister and my husband and I, we went out for a nice lunch at our favorite restaurant, and that was it. And the whole thing cost like $200. So it was a good deal. But the story that you want to tell is about the dress.
Yeah, you did speak about the dress in this, you know, this is where you weave in your health story into the wedding story.
Yes.
But before we get into the dress, I'd like to say, you know, so far we've been talking about the food and, you know, everything and the simplification of things, right? Like how to take things in stride and then just simplify things for yourself. And you really did that with your wedding. And that's pretty cool. Like, that's like, yeah, you didn't need the headache, the fuss, the planning. And people undergo a lot of anxiety and stress when it comes to planning weddings. And you're like, whoop, none of that. And then just, okay, today's the day. That's pretty.
Yeah.
I had to commend you on that. tell us about the dress.
Oh, the dress. Okay. So I knew, but of course he didn't know, that we would be married in a couple of months. So I started looking in the thrift stores because I knew I was only going to wear it once. And I found this very beautiful dress I thought it was beautiful. It was only $20. It was a simple cotton dress with like sort of like an eyelet pattern. It was like a A-line dress, like just under the knee. And I thought, oh, this is nice. And I this is the dress that I want. But it was, I think it was a size 8. And I thought, sure, I can fit into that. I didn't even try it on in the store. I bought it. I decided, okay, I'm going to slim down and get into this. This is my dress. Well, anyway, when I got home, I tried on this dress. There was no way I could do the zipper up on this thing. There was so much back fat. You'd have to be stepping on my back to try and do up this zipper. It wouldn't go up at all. There's no way. So I thought, oh, well, we're going to need a plan B. So I went out and I bought another dress that was so much bigger. It was like an 18. I thought I looked, I still thought I looked beautiful, which of course I am anyway in my soul. And it was a lot bigger dress, but that's the one I ended up going with. But this other dress, I loved it so much that I kept it all these years. Yeah. It's like one day I was determined that one day I would wear this dress. It wouldn't have to be for a wedding. It's a white cotton dress. I could wear it anytime. And so I saved it and saved it for years. And finally, after all this weight loss, I thought, oh, I bet I could try it on. And it was even too big. And and so when I had my photo shoot for the launch of my book, I made sure that I had a picture of me in my dress with my throwaway bouquet, you know, that I had saved as well. So that's the story of the dress.
And how many years was it, like from the time you got married?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Funny, like things line up in a pattern. I got married on, what is it, June the 7th, 2013. I became vegan on June 17th of 2013, and I got my pictures taken on July 1st, 2021. So just last month.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So your vegan journey started after you got, you know, just soon after you got married, which is pretty cool also, you know, to know that a lot of big things happen in your life at around the same time then.
Yeah, for sure. You know, that there's an old joke that says that when you get married, the bride hopes to change the groom, you know, but the groom hopes that the bride will never change. Well, I threw that up in the air because as soon as we got married, I became a vegan. And he's like, what the, you know, we've been eating meat all this time. And like 2 weeks later, now you're a vegan. What's going on here? So I changed straight away.
I like that turning vegan. Your marriage survived that, you know, that's pretty cool because that's again something you hear people with, you know, with close relationships, they change as people completely because it's not, you know, when you go vegan, it's not just going vegan. It's also you start questioning other things in life. You question other norms. You're like, oh, I believed this all along. So what else am I being told, which is actually an absolute lie, right? You believe that you need to. You have to eat meat or have to have dairy. And then you're like, one fine day, you're like, oh, I can choose not to. And it's actually good for me. So you change as a person. So it's pretty cool that, you know, even though you did change as a person, both of you are all these years down the line, happily together.
Yeah. Well, the thing, here's something else about like when you get old and not that I'm old, but when you get older and you're in a relationship, you know, like you start a new relationship, this is something I learned. All the relationships that I had with men earlier in my life, you always have insecurities and you always have secrets about revealing who you really are and what you really want with your new partner. And in the case of my husband, from day one, I thought, you know what? I'm going to do this relationship differently. I'm going to lay it all on the line. I'm going to tell him exactly who I am, what I want, secrets about my past. Take me or leave me. And he was the same way with me. You know, there were no secrets at all. And it made all the difference. So for me, the transition to vegan, he's like, oh, yeah, whatever. And we have a live and let live thing. We don't want to spend the rest of our lives fighting or arguing about such silly things. You know, it's like, oh, you do you and I'll do me, and let's just love each other, that, you know, for who we are. And that sort of freedom is amazing.
I love that. And you know what you said about as you get older, things change with the relationship. But it also brings me to this other thing, which I remember you saying, you're like, as you get older, you give less fucks. You're like, okay, I don't about anything in life in general, right? You know, this is something that I always admire, and I've felt this way as I've grown older too, from say when I was in my 20s, how I was in my 30s to 40s. And now when people, you know, turn the decade like, I always tell them, like, oh my God, it's going to be amazing. It's going to be more freeing for you. Don't even worry about turning 30 or whatever. Like, you know, I feel like it's only gotten better because of the freedom that you experience. So tell us more about that, like your thoughts on that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. It's because I think you've gone through it. So you become much more tolerant of yourself and of other people, and you realize what things are really important. You know, when people, especially when you're young, I'm talking like a young, someone in their 20s or whatever, you give a lot of importance to what other people are thinking or what they see when they look at you, how you look, you know, how you appear to other people. And it really doesn't matter because everybody's thinking about how they appear or what they're going to say. And how they measure up to the tribe, so to speak. But as you get older, you realize, no, those things really aren't that important. It's you respect people, you tolerate people, and you respect and you tolerate yourself. Mm-hmm. And you just let that flow over you, and you're going to get older. Things are going to change. There are going to be big rocks in your path or things on your journey that you cannot anticipate. You enjoy today. You do your very best to shine on as your authentic self, and beautiful things will happen for you.
I love that. That is beautiful. I see that. I see you embodying it, you know, when you talk, there is no ounce of being conscious, like, no. You know, when you're in the group, like, there's absolutely none of that. You're like, this is me, all of me, you know, and that makes everybody who's watching an example like you live up to that and want to be that, because more than anything else, it's yes, you know, the achievements are great, how you're helping people is great, all that is great, but what's more important is seeing how happy you are as you are, right? So you have more happy days than the sad ones, because you're like, whatever, right?
Yeah, exactly. Whatever, you know, you take it as it comes. You can't waste, I'm begging you younger women, don't waste your energy on worrying about or fearing to try things or worrying about what other people are thinking. You do you, you know, you concentrate on what you want to say and what you want to do. Of course, respecting them as well, but don't worry so much about what other people are thinking, because you'll never reach your dreams. You'll be so focused on helping them achieve their dreams or living up to their expectations. You'll come away with regret. You want to live your life.
Oh, yeah, so true. And that is very, very good advice. And I do hope a lot of the younger women listening to this really contemplate on it and take it in. Because I wish when I was in my 20s, somebody told me this, you know? I'm sure you wished it too, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I absolutely wish that somebody had done that. And also, I wish that somebody had told me how to eat properly. You know, you know, my mom, you know, they did the best they could with the knowledge that they had at that time.
Yeah.
And so thanks, Mom, for that. But I don't think that they anticipated the power of processed food or restaurants like McDonald's, you know, in shaping our generations after that time. You know, processed food has changed the shape of the world, and it's not a pretty shape. It's a pretty heavy shape, you know, not a healthy shape anymore. So that's something I wish I'd had when I was younger, is to not to be addicted to fast food and processed food. I didn't start gaining weight until they opened a McDonald's in my small town, and I jumped in full force into that. I just loved that. And that was the beginning of my binge eating and bulimia. Is I credit McDonald's with that.
Oh, wow.
When I went to university, I got a bursary, which was quite a big prize because I was so darn clever. And And with that money, this is long before things like Skip the Dishes or DoorDash or things like that, where they deliver the food to your door. My husband at that time, my first husband and I, we didn't have a car. So we would phone a taxi service to pick up McDonald's for us and deliver it to our house. Mm-hmm. And then years later, when I was working in Indonesia, I was working as an academic coordinator for an English school. McDonald's came to Indonesia and it was a big deal, right? But obviously a lot of people couldn't afford it. So McDonald's would actually phone me at work and ask me if I wanted what I wanted to order, and they would deliver it by motorbike to me at work, McDonald's. So how can you get away with it from an addiction like that when they're actually phoning you?
Yeah, they're treating you like royalty and they're like, oh, you know, what would you like? We'll bring it to you.
Yeah, exactly. Wow. Yeah.
Okay, that's quite something. I'm glad you realized how terrible that fast foods are, especially the meat-heavy stuff, but also even, you know, anything processed.
Oh.
And you particularly mentioned sugar and salt and oil and things like that.
Oh, yeah.
Do you absolutely not have any sugar at all? And if you don't,
no.
Cool. And so what do you do for dessert? Like when you have a craving for dessert, what do you do in alternatives?
Oh, great. That's a great question. You know, fruit is amazing. Fresh fruit is amazing. I eat a pound of fruit every day, and it's only like 300 calories. So fresh fruit is my go-to. I'm not a big person for like baked goods or cookies or things like that. That's not really my thing, but there's lots of recipes that are out there. I make what would you call it? Like an apple cobbler or an apple crisp, whereupon you just use fruit. You use fruit as your sweetener, like for a replacement for ice cream. I make nice cream. And it's just frozen bananas that you put in a blender or like a Vitamix with a little bit of oat milk, and you blend it down, and you have a beautiful soft serve ice cream. Or frozen pineapple is also really nice. And that's called a dole, where you from the dole pineapple company that they serve at Disneyland. So that's a good way of doing it. But you can replace sugar using fruit in almost everything. I seldom sweeten with dates or raisins, simply because of the caloric density, because dried fruits have a lot more calories per pound, you know, compared to fresh. But in a recipe, for example, I make a lovely salad dressing that does require a bit of sweetness. So I use pears to sweeten it up, and also to thicken the texture. And it gives it just a little bit more sweetness. There's a lot you can do with oats, using oats as a base, like for cookies and muffins, and using fruit as the sweetener. And you know what? You don't even miss the sugar. You really don't. You know, as you become addicted to a particular substance, like sugar, for example, you never, you know, the first bite is too much, but then every bite after that is never enough. And that's true. You know, like you think it's so sweet. Like, for example, if you buy yourself a big chocolate bar and you say to yourself, I'm just going to have one square of that chocolate, and you have that first square, and before you know it, the entire bar is gone. You can't stop. So you have to find a way that's more within keeping of the way our ancestors ate, to enjoy sugar in its natural form that gives you that sweetness, and yet you're not destroying your body. And I want to point out something that maybe you guys don't know about sugar. And this is important for those that are getting older. And it actually, when you want to start with your younger. Collagen in your skin, to keep it nice and young and plump, is destroyed by the three S's. Okay? This is what destroys the skin. Sun exposure, like serious sun exposure, smoking, and sugar. Sugar breaks down collagen. So that's when you look in the mirror, you know, and you want to keep your skin young and beautiful. And oh, here we go again. And it's not just the skin on your face. It's all the epithelial cells that are inside your body, your joints, and your ligaments will suffer, will be broken down by sugar, because that's the collagen in those parts of your body. So that's another good reason to stay away from sugar. Wow. But natural sugar found in fresh fruit, that's the way to go.
And you know, you were saying you won't miss it anymore, which I know what you mean, because when you're addicted to sugar and you're having a lot, you'll just keep having it. But once you wean yourself away from it, even a little, like even dates are too sweet sometimes, you know?
Absolutely. The truth.
Yeah. So you're like, you do start enjoying the light sweetness in everything. And even for the people who do, say, have sugar in terms of like maple syrup or something a little more processed, but not exactly white sugar, even that can be addictive. But that also, if you reduce it over time, you'll need less and less of it. And it's possible. If you try it, it's possible to reduce it. You know, it's like absolutely a done thing. And that's good to know that you connected it. See, I did not know about the connection to collagen and sugar. I knew about the addiction and all the other, but this is a very, very interesting point and something important to know, because yes, skin is important. That's a different matter. But more importantly, all your ligaments and stuff, right? That's so important to protect.
And also sugar is really, it's highly inflammatory, right? For your entire body, it's affecting everything, and it's just not a way, a good way to go. And also, you know, our bodies, we run on sugar, we run on glycogen, our brains and our muscles, we do need sugar, but sugar is converted from all carbohydrates anyway. And you really don't need the excessive sugar. And I also want to point out, you might say, oh, well, maybe I'll have like an artificial sweetener then, and then I'll get my sugar. And that's a good idea. That's absolutely not a good idea.
That's worse than regular sugar.
It is worse. It is just a total chemical. It's designed to spike the dopamine in your brain. And it is highly addictive. And let's just talk about it from a weight loss standpoint. And that is that what happens in your brain when you take your stick of sugar-free gum, your primitive brain can't tell the difference from that dopamine release, whether or not it's real sweetener or real sugar, or if it's an artificial sweetener. And so it just sees sugar. And it lights up on your brain and it flips the switch and it says, sugar is coming. Sugar is coming. And then you get the cravings. So, you know what I mean? Like it's just pushing you towards your cravings falsely. It's tricking your brain into thinking more sugar's coming. Your body says, where's the sugar? And it won't shut up about it. It'll keep talking, you know? So don't think that that's the way to do it. It's definitely not.
Yeah, so I agree with what you're saying about the artificial sweetness. And, you know, I often tell this to people. I'm like, you might as well just have like white processed sugar than the chemically artificial.
Absolutely. You know? Absolutely.
We find all these what we assume are clever ways to trick ourselves when all, like you said, all you have to do is just go more natural and have more fruits.
Yeah, you know.
Right? Why do all this? Yeah.
People, you know, I think of myself as a deer. You know, the animal, the deer, right?
Okay.
And you look at deer and none of them are fat. You know, they eat what they're designed to eat, and then they go on their way. So I think of myself as a deer. Now, the only creatures on earth that are fat are the ones that aren't eating the natural diet designed for their bodies. And those are humans and the animals that they feed. dogs and cats and things.
Oh, yeah.
You see?
Yeah.
And the animals they feed. And so if you eat a diet that you are designed to eat, natural, whole food, plant-based, you won't have a weight problem.
You will be what you're meant to be, the shape that you're born to be.
You will be the deer that you're meant to be. You know, your body will be healthy and fit, and it is the vehicle that will take you through life in good health, and it will carry you through your genetic potential to the day that you just fall asleep and that's the end. So why rob yourself of health till the end by eating something as mundane as processed foods? You know,
that's a good point.
get your joy from natural foods and get your joy from life and family and love. You know,
that's a beautiful thought to end this discussion on. It's so true, and it's, you know, I say the very, very wise words. Getting your joy from what is good for you, basically, right?
Yes. Yes.
And
for
it's
sure.
all there. It's right there for us. It's accessible. It's not even like it's not.
Yeah, no, and it's inexpensive. You know? It's inexpensive to eat this way. You know, I'm just looking up at my shelf here, and I have all these big jars of every kind of bean and lentil. And the beautiful colors, and they're all ready to go in my Instapot, you know, and they're dried and they're sitting there, and they're so inexpensive, you know. My big splurge is on fruit, yeah. Like some fruits can be more expensive, especially imported fruits, you know, that are a bit more exotic, and that's my big expense, and that's nothing, you know.
Yeah. And you're saving on all the medical bills in the long run.
Absolutely.
People say vegan food is expensive. I'm like, still, even if you buy the most gourmet, most expensive food, and then you are having it, like you said, okay, imported fruit, if you get it imported from really far away, and then, you know, it really piles up the cost and everything, even then, you're still saving in the long run.
Oh, yeah, for sure. You know, with your health. And there's nothing more precious. You know, people think about the bills, but you also have to think about, if you're down and you're sick, what's going to happen to your family, you know?
Yeah.
And the expense of taking care of you at home and the missed income from work and all these other considerations, you know, that junk food that you're eating is so much more expensive in so many ways.
Very true. Absolutely. Well, Karen, I think this was a great discussion, and there's so many points that you've brought up that, you know, that really drive home the importance of choosing clean eating, as well as just taking life as it comes. You know, that's just what I love about what you said. And I see that through the way you've lived, writing your book now. You recently celebrated your 60th, am I right?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, see, like at 60, you're like, okay, I'm an author. I decided, if I'm 59, I decide to be an author by 60. I'm like, yes, my book is released, you know. It's pretty awesome because it goes to show you can be anything you want, do anything you want, as long as you're loving and caring and respectful to yourself. And I really appreciate how you embody that, Karen.
Yeah, you know, I spent a lot of years wasting my time thinking about other people and doing other things. I figure I got another 40 years to really turn it around and do the things that I want to do. Write more books, you know, design courses, help more people, and stay on this way of eating to ensure my health to the end of my genetic potential. And that's my plan.
Lovely plan. I'm waiting to watch as you grow now, you know. I'm moving forward too.
there's only one way but up now, I tell you. I've got the energy and the confidence to really go for it now. So wait and see.
I love that. So Carolyn, if, you know, I'm sure people love listening to everything you said. So if they'd like to connect with you, if they'd like to reach out or find you online, where do
they go? Absolutely. Okay, I have my website, which is www.karenwarwickrhn.com. So that's karenwarwickrhn.com. And that is my website, and you can contact me through there. And also, I have a private Facebook group for my book, Break the Cycle. And you can get on my private Facebook group, which is a support group for those that are following my book.
Okay. They both sound great. And I'm going to share links to that in the episode's webpage, so everybody can reach out to you. Yes, everyone, Karen has a fun energy and lots of wisdom to share. So please do follow her. Buy the book. We're going to share the Amazon link to the book too. So read it. You know, there's a lot more to gain here. So I hope you do follow her and take advantage of all the wisdom. Thank you so much, Karen, for waking up so early in the morning and being here on the show.
Oh, thank you, Susmita. It was an absolute pleasure, and it was absolutely no problem at all for me to wake up and talk to you, because you're just awesome.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Hey, lovely people. If you enjoyed this episode, you are totally going to like everything I send in my Feel Good Tribe newsletter. I send out emails once or twice a month with secret stories, fun updates, life and business tips, vegan guidance, and so much more. Go to my website, veganosaurus.com, that is veganosaurus.com, and scroll down right to the bottom to be able to sign up to the newsletter. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of The Feel Good Factor. I'm Susmita Veganosaurus, and I'm looking forward to talking to you again very soon. Bye!